everyone, and welcome to the Jobber Circle Wrestling Podcast. Today, we are going to be rating Double or Nothing 2022 AEW's pay-per-view event. If you're familiar with the show already, we have our rating system. Vinny, you want to tell them a little bit about our rating system?
So if it's a 1, gets a potato.
Yes.
If it's a 2, it's actually pretty good. So 2 is actually solid. Good slash solid match. We didn't know whether we're going to, first it was good, then it was good slash solid. We think solid.
Yeah.
2 is solid.
Yes.
3 is This Is Awesome, of course. They get the This Is Awesome chant.
Yes. This is awesome.
Yeah, there we go. 4 is Elite. And then 5 is the best rating you can get is the brass ring.
Oh, yes. So, of course, the goal is to get a brass ring, everybody.
Yeah, but then, it also shows our appreciation for it because there's only actually one score technically you can get for it to be bad, which is the 1, which is the potato. So if it's a 2, it's not necessarily bad. It's just solid. It just, we enjoyed it, but it just wasn't Elite or wasn't This Is Awesome, wasn't Elite, and it wasn't Brass Ring. But we'll figure out which ones. You want to start the first match?
Yeah, so we started off with the buy-in. So that was Hook and Danhausen versus Tony Nese and Mark Sterling.
It was a good start. Good way to start. I mean, I was kind of, honestly, I was looking forward to this, and I kind of, I mean, and let's be honest here, one of the things we're going to get on this podcast is wrestling honesty.
Yeah.
And I think they should have made this match, they should have put this match on the show, and they should have put Darby and Kyle O'Reilly on the buy-in. That's what I think should happen.
Yes,
I think they should have swapped that there, because I swear I went to go take a shit, and the Darby Allin Kyle O'Reilly match was over. I was like, what just happened?
that was like the top match very put together of like the entire time. I'm just saying that there was a few matches that felt put together, but I feel like that one was like one of the main ones that was just thrown in there.
Oh, that was thrown together. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. But the Danhausen Hookhausen, really. I was gonna say Danhausen Hookhausen. I'm really enjoying it. I really think it's kind of an odd pairing, but it's working.
Yeah,
and it's so cool
because you put somebody that's like so serious, and you put somebody that's so like funny, I guess you could say, like, and together.
And I really didn't know, I really hadn't seen Danhausen wrestle before, so I didn't know he was basically going to be a comedic wrestler.
Yeah,
he's not really, I guess. Oh, technically he got a win. he got the win.
Hook let him have a win. I thought Hook was, Hook tagged him at the last second.
Yeah.
I thought Hook was going to take the win.
And that's good for, I guess character's sake that Hook just let him have the win. He's like, I don't care, take the win. I'll do all the work, you take the win, whatever. Yeah. I'm just chill here.
Yeah.
I really liked it. So I'm going to give it a 2. It was just solid. Good opening the show.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm going to give it a 2 also.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then what do we have after that?
After that, we had MJF and Wardlow.
What's going on with MJF? Huh?
MJF looked really pissed off. That's all I gotta say, because something was definitely bothering him. And then, of course, like, if you're familiar, with the social media, he even made like a joke in the beginning, like with the
when he did the airplane emote thing.
So I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah, because there was rumors that he didn't show up to the fan fest, and that that there was a plane ticket booked that he was gonna leave, but then of course he ended up showing up, and
he just got squashed.
He got squashed, and maybe that could have been why he was upset, that he's like, look, I don't want to do this fan fest, I don't want to get squashed, and look, I really don't know. It could be all a work, but I mean, I don't know, because
he's really good at playing people.
But even after the AEW media scrum, they were asking Tony Khan about MJF, and he's like, I have no comment about that. I don't know, MJF, he could be getting a little, I don't know, this could be the case where he's getting a little too
he's feeling a little underpaid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Okay. So I was about to go off. It's a matter of perspective, people. I was going to go off and say he's just, being too overconfident in himself and thinking that he can just get his way. And if he doesn't, he's going to leave. And the WWE is going to give him, automatically give him a contract, make him a top star. Like, that's, even if WWE does give you a contract, there's no telling, you can end up like Shanky and dancing backstage. I literally told you when you saw him dancing, you literally told me about that segment with Shanky and WWE, I was going off for WWE a second. You told me that segment. I was like, oh no. And you're like, what? I was like, he's ruined. And you're like, what do you mean? I was like, they're going to have him dance all the time now. And now he's skyscraping Shanky.
That's so bad.
Like, so that's going to be MJF if he goes to WWE. you know,
he's gonna be back to walking out the main stars like he did with Samoa Joe.
Oh my gosh, yes, that's funny. Yeah, he had Samoa Joe hey, you know, because he was walking ahead of him. See, even then, even when he was playing a jobber security guard, he still was trying to walk ahead of the real star. Like, literally. You know, that just goes to show it. Just, you know, he's still at that young age, and you know, I think we're around the same age, but it's just a level of maturity. And when you get that amount of, you know, famous success at an early age, that maturity level kind of, with the famous success you get at an early age, that maturity level kind of drops.
Yep.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's exactly what happens.
But nonetheless, this is a case, like I told you, with a, you know, someone who gets drafted, you know, out of the NFL. Like, of course, yes, there's bonuses. MJF is not, his base contract is probably low, but he's still getting the match bonuses.
Oh, yeah.
He's still getting the merch money. Like, he's still getting, I'm sure he's still getting paid.
Yeah.
Fairly well.
Yeah.
But he's just, I guess he's mad because he's not making the Bryan Danielson money, the CM Punk money. But this is like a case, like I told you, with the NFL. When you, if you come up the rookie year, you get a contract in the NFL, and you take your team to the Super Bowl the rookie year, you're going to get the bonuses and stuff, but hey, you still signed a base contract because it was, it's basically like, hey, we didn't know you were gonna come in and be a star. That's why we paid you, you know, prior price. And you just gotta wait out your contract, and then when your contract expires, then you're like, hey,
I'm a big star.
I'm a big star, and you've been paying me peanuts this whole time. Now you're gonna pay me the real money. And that's where he, you know, claims the bidding war, the 2024 bidding war is gonna come in. But he looks like he's trying to get that started early, honestly.
it looks like he's ready to go. But yeah, it's just basically what you said. It's just a sense of like, you just gotta wait it out. Out, and then when your time comes, you'll
get compensated for
exactly.
But that was a squash.
It was a squash.
But what a way to build Wardlow up, man. The whole feud is a way to build Wardlow up.
Yes, and I'm curious to see where Wardlow will go next, because now he's all elite.
He officially got his contract. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Where did either one go, Neth? I mean, tongue twister there. Where do either of them go? Because like the Pinnacle, let's face it, the Pinnacle is like was DOA, dead on arrival. So, but I like FTR didn't need the Pinnacle. The Pinnacle didn't need to happen. That just got thrown together because they were trying to you know, feud with Jericho.
Yes. Yeah. But, it was a 5-on-5.
FTR is doing their good thing. I mean, I don't know. Apparently, FTR came out after Punk. You know, of course, we're gonna be talking about the matches in order, but of course, just talking to wrestling people, we're gonna be jumping around. But after CM Punk won, FTR came out and they all like raised their belts together.
Did you see that picture? I did.
Yeah, that would be a cool little faction there, managed by Bret Hart.
Trios.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Bret Hart.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because originally AEW, the main point of AEW was to focus on tag team wrestling, and I feel like tag team wrestling and faction wrestling is the same, but it's not, it's different. It's like same but different people. You know what I mean? So I feel like AEW is kind of like the tag team division is kind of dwindling, because like, let's face it, that triple threat match, it was a great match. You know, like I said, we're going to be jumping around. It was a great match, but it wasn't, you know. I don't know. I feel like AEW is more about factions than it is about tag team wrestling. So is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Basically, is what I'm saying. Bring on the Trios titles.
Yes.
That's what we need at this point.
Yeah. You brought up the Trios the Trios match from last night. And yeah, if there was a Trios tag, that would have been the match to bring those titles.
Oh, you're talking about Death Triangle and...
I'm talking about Death Triangle.
And the House of Black. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move along so we can get into that.
We got to rate Wardlow and MJF.
Wardlow and MJF. Like we said, it's not just going to be about pure wrestling. Our rating isn't like that. Or, you know, that's the difference between our rating and other ratings. Our rating is going to be about the presentation, the storyline, even entrances can play a factor. So this, I don't know, I'll give it a 2.
Oh, I was going to give it a 2 also.
I'll give it a 2. The storyline is like, I know that if I really wanted to focus on, like you say, building Wardlow itself, would be probably like a 3 or a 4. But if we're rating this match itself, this match is 2.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2 also.
Yeah, okay. Hardy's Young Bucks, that was exciting.
That was so exciting. I loved that. I felt like that was like a dream match.
It was, technically.
Yeah, Hardy's and the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Wow. Basically, they pulled out all the stops. Basically, it was Young Bucks and Hardy's greatest hits, even Young Bucks pulling out Hardy's hits as they did last week. When they came out? Oh, man, I enjoyed that. When they came out as the Hardys, that was in the, you know, Gangrel, of course. If you know my story, how I got into wrestling, it was because of the Brood. So I really enjoyed that moment with Gangrel. I enjoyed the moment with Gangrel coming out with the Young Bucks as, you know, cosplays as Hardys, but I didn't enjoy the moment where he got attacked. But then I enjoyed the moment again when the Hardys came out to save him. So, good stuff, people. Good stuff. Yeah. But this match, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a 3. I think it was a lot of, I think it was like not chaotic, but like there was a lot of good moves. And then, of course, you know, Jeff Hardy just like, and apparently he got like, he had like an injury scare, and so he's been pulled from this week's Dynamite.
Yeah, because man, his back is only, yes. His back can only take so much.
And he was doing this.
That's one time off the steps. And yeah.
Yes. It was, man. Just, it was super crazy. And like, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Jeff Hardy just goes to extreme sometimes.
Yeah. I'd rate it a 3.
I'm going to say 3. A good
3. This is awesome.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, yes. Anna Jay and Jade.
Oh, man. I liked, from the beginning, I liked Anna Jay's throwback gear from the Magician.
Oh, Anna Jay's throwback. Yeah, that was kind of cool. That was cool. And then I liked the presentation of Jade's entrance with the showgirls because they're in Vegas. Ooh, yes. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool too. Yes. And Jade with the Asuka hair, I guess. That's interesting.
It reminded me of Cosmo and Wanda.
Oh, yeah. Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. But this match wasn't quite awesome. I mean, it was a good match, but it was very clunky. It was clunky.
It was.
There was some mess ups, some, you know, pauses. You can tell even when there are mess ups, and like, that's what I always tell you, when there's like, when they're good at it and they're great wrestlers, they like basically like flow through the mess ups where they make it more fluid. It's all about fluidity, I guess. But when you have those stops and like pauses and like where you can tell their gears are turning, like, oh, what am I doing next? Oh, you got to do this. What are they doing? And then you're trying to communicate the same time as you're trying to think. Some people have that, you know, well, after a certain time, you have that naturally, but they didn't have that in this match. It was so clunky, but you know, that doesn't take nothing away from them. They both, you know, like I said, it was still, it was, for what it's worth, it was still good.
To me, I think, like you said, I can agree with like the actual middle of the match, but to me, I feel like the ending was the best part.
Oh, yes. Sure. Once you share that.
Yeah. So, of course, so I'm trying to remember the order it came. So the baddies came out, right?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so the baddies came out, I think it was, and then Chris.
This was Stanton. after Anna Jay, or after Jade won.
After Jade won,
right? Yeah. Okay.
The baddies came
out. Wait, did we even share who won between Young Bucks and Hardys? We always forget that. Even
we do.
Yeah, Hardys won. On the Hardys
did win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Anna Jay and Jade, Jade won, and then what happened?
Retained, yes, and then they started to beat up Anna Jay more. Baddies came out. Chris Statlander came out to help, and you're thinking, oh well, there's a spot missing, and then Athena's music hits.
Well, Stokely came out first.
Oh, Stokely did, right? See, I'm trying to remember. There was like two. There was two different.
It was a lot of a lot at once.
It was a lot. So Stokely came out, and for those of you, I'm sure you're aware, he's from NXT, and so I guess he's gonna be like Jade's new manager now.
Yeah, I don't know if Sterling's gonna still be her lawyer or what.
I don't know.
But then, yeah, we got the Fallen Goddess Athena. Athena's debut.
That was pretty
so
awesome.
So basically, you had Chris Statlander, Anna Jade, and Athena on one side, and then of course Jade,
Red Velvet, and Kira Hogan.
Yeah, and then finally Stokely, like, you know, separated them. So we'll see where that goes going forward. Really thought Chris Statlander deserves to be next for the TBS title, but maybe you're gonna get Athena. Maybe maybe that's what they'll do. They'll get Athena probably to get, you know, that TBS title shot. Athena won't probably win because she's you know, just getting in, and then, you know, Chris Statlander will probably back her up. It's like. Yeah. Jade's gonna go down the list. Jade took down Anna Jade. Next, she's gonna take down Athena, and then she's probably gonna lose to Chris Statlander.
Yeah, I mean, for
if there's anyone that can give, if there's anyone that can give Jade her first loss, it has to be Chris.
Yeah, yeah, she's been there longer than her, right?
Yeah,
or just about. Yeah, the same
she's been there since day one.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
She deserves.
She's
it.
She's a perfect contestant. Yeah, yes,
she deserves
contender.
It. But I'll give it a 2. Based on if it wasn't for the ending, it'd get a 1. But like I said, based on the whole presentation, it gets a 2.
I'm going to give it a 2 also.
All right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So far, all 2s. Nobody's got, all 2s except the Hardys Young Bucks got a 3.
Yeah.
All right. So after that, we had the House of Black and Death Triangle match. Ooh. House of Black versus Death Triangle. Now, this was a good match.
This was from the entrance to the end.
And it was action packed. This was like. Like, it was, like, in a way where it was just, like, action-packed in a way you didn't even need, like, weapons or anything like that. Like, extra stuff. It's, like, it was just, you had these 6 guys just pulling out move after move after move after move. And it's so many different directions, so many different ways, so many different combinations as far as who's doing it to who. Like, so action-packed. It was awesome. And, like, these are my two, we talked about factions earlier in the Trios titles. These are my two absolute favorite factions. At this point, of course, it was Death Triangle before, but then House of Black came along and just like, man, like I said, Aleister Black has, to me, the perfect gimmick, perfect character, perfect. Yeah. And it's not just a gimmick to him. I mean, he basically kind of lives it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, his vision just all came together. I think this was his original vision, you know, prior to AEW that he didn't get to fulfill. But of course, you know, he's getting free reign here, it seems like, because it is working and it's pulling in people like me that just love it. Yeah, it's freaking awesome. And why don't you share what happened at the end?
Okay, so at the end, it was really, okay, so you brought it up yesterday. You said they made us forget, and then they just, like, pulled it out of nowhere. So, like, a few weeks back, we had, like, the situation where, like, Varsity Blondes and House of Black were kind of, like, feuding. And at first, it looked like Julia Hart was going to be, like, kind of, like, pulled into there. We were like, oh, like, that's great. Like, that would be perfect. Like, I think we've talked about it in a past episode before when it happened, right?
Yeah.
So the lights go out. So she basically spit the black mist, right? So the lights go out. Julia Hart comes.
Yeah, the lights turn back on.
Yes.
Pac's on the top rope about to do, you know, the black arrow and win. Uh-huh. And then that's when the lights go out. They go back on and she's in the ring dressed in black.
So cool.
Spits the mist in Pac's face and allows Aleister Black, Malakai to do the kick. And then there we go.
Yep. And it was a win and it was a perfect way to to bring her in, like,
yes, and it's the perfect, like, I tell you, it's I just like that storyline of, like, cheerleader gone goth. It's just freaking cool.
Exactly. You know? Yes, and then she's the actual cheerleader too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It fits. It definitely fits.
I feel like this is really gonna work out for her, and I'm glad because like it was kind of sad to kind of see her in the Varsity Blondes not like she was always just like just the cheerleader, right? Like in a band, like a roadie. Like she was just always the girl on the side.
Yeah.
And like now I feel like she can actually be a part of like a faction and like be good at it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see like what they do with
that. What they do with that, yeah. And then some key moments in the match. You know, of course, the taunting back and forth was cool. You know, like the Malakai and Rey Fénix, you know, sitting crisscross in front of each other.
Yes.
Yeah, there was just a few other ones. There were combinations. Like I said, there were so many combinations of taunts, but there was other ones in there. The Brody King mess up, and when he was trying to do that flip off the over the top rope, and he basically did the flip on the apron as Jim Ross caught it.
Yes.
Like,
bowling shoe ugly.
Because like I said, there was move after move, and it was great, but there was a point in the middle of the match where we even said it was getting clustered.
Yes.
It was getting, like, really clustered.
It was only for a few minutes, though, because then the ending came, and then I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and then did Rey Fénix have PTSD in that one moment
when he
went from the double stomp outside onto Brody. Mm-hmm. It's like he was gonna stomp on him, but of course, like I said, he probably knew that if he stomped, he's gonna go back and have to land on his hand.
Catch
so
himself.
It's like at the last minute, he like jumped over him and just like did like a hammer fist.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah. Yeah, he just came down and hit him with his hand.
So yeah,
that we both immediately thought that that's
like whoa, like he bailed at the last minute. Like that was kind of some worry.
He changed
there.
His mind for sure.
But I'd give this a 3 overall.
I'm going to give it a 3-2.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
I love it.
Any other notes we have here? But yeah, I mean, yeah, other than that, this is a Trios title type of match. But Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, or Joey Samoa is what I like to refer to him as.
the final of the Owen Hart Cup tournament.
This tournament has really been good, and I've explained before.
I love it.
Yeah, I've explained before how I love tournaments, and it's just been good.
Yeah. Samoa Joe, I kind of had a feeling it was going to be Adam Cole, but I feel like they've been building Samoa Joe so much since he came back that, like, I was kind of expecting him to win, but...
Yeah, but it's been kind of too early. Too early.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And then so, overall, like, did you think it was a good match? Like, how
did you
feel?
They definitely gave it their all, and Adam Cole deserves it. I mean, did you see that picture with Adam Cole and Britt Baker? Like, they're, like, holding hands with their titles and their two cups. His whole Owen Hart, it wasn't, like, of course, it was about the wrestling. But it just, like, also was kind of, like, the story of just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, I don't want to be cliche, but, like, poetic justice.
Yes.
It's, like, we'll skip because of Britt Baker. Or, I mean, we'll just go through them both because the Britt Baker Ruby Soho match was right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, man, like I said, it was just the tournament was a great story as far as like poetic justice.
Yes.
You know, great wrestling, which led up to like Adam Cole and Britt Baker, like, I guess setting them up for the new Cody and Brandy, the new power couple.
The new power couple
of AEW is basically what it was. But I'm all for it. That was just awesome.
Yeah, how about those belts? Beautiful
yes,
belts.
Yes, and then Ruby Soho, or Britt Baker, when she came out, she got her own guitarist.
Yes,
and then Ruby Soho came out, she had,
her last band,
Rancid. that was
so
great.
So cool.
Anything else you have to say about the two matches?
I don't think so. Let me see.
I mean, other than that, Britt should have won clean over Ruby Soho. I don't like the roll-up wins. You know, I know you have to do it, but it's like, guys, it's like, there's times where Conor McGregor loses clean. He gets his ankle broken. He gets knocked out. He gets choked out or whatever. What, I don't know if he's, has he gotten like, yeah, he's gotten knocked out. He's getting, he's definitely gotten choked out.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with somebody losing clean. It doesn't make them weak in 2022 is basically mm-hmm. what I'm saying. You see UFC fighters get knocked out all the time and then come back and knock, you know, three people out in a row. Like, it's you don't have to do these roll-ups to make people like, oh, we got to do a fast roll-up win so they don't look weak. No. It's like, no, it's 2022. They can lose clean. It's not going to make them weak, okay, people? Yeah. Okay, riders.
Right, as you should say. Because those are the people who make the decisions.
Yeah. Exactly. We need to, I'm over trying to make a case for, you know, MMA, but, you know, we need to brush up on MMA.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, I know nothing.
Yeah, I know. But it's okay. We're doing the wrestling podcast, people. Yeah.
Did we rate these matches?
So, Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, I'm going to give it a,
I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. I'll give it a, I want to give it a 3 just because it was a good technical match.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3.
Yeah.
But was it as
good? You're like debating in your head right now.
I am.
You can see like the thoughts going back.
If you give it a 2, I'll give it a 2-2, which is solid. It's a solid match. Remember, 2's not bad, people.
Yeah.
All right. So Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, you listen to it. I love you. It's 2. Solid.
Yeah. And another thing I realized, we have not given out any potatoes so far.
Yeah. No potatoes so far. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Ruby Soho, Britt Baker. Potato. No, I'm just kidding. I'll give it a 2.
I'm going to give that a 2.
So you're telling me Samoa Joe and Adam Cole, that match ranked up. You put Samoa Joe, Adam Cole, Ruby Soho, Britt Baker. You're telling me those are the 2 exact same matches?
Man.
There's no points here. This ain't Dave Meltzer with the, oh, it was a
4.7536.
Yeah, shut up.
Fuck. I was going to say some unkind words.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, I'm going to go back on what I say.
Adam Cole, Samoa Joe gets a 3. Ruby Soho, Britt Baker gets a 2.
Yes.
Okay.
We just decided.
Yes. Exactly.
We could do the show. I mean, we could do this, people. It's our show.
Yeah, and the Owen Hart presentation itself with Martha Hart and the,
who was cutting the onions?
Yeah, I'll give that. I'll give that a 4, an elite moment.
4.
That was definitely an elite
moment.
For
sure. Yeah. For sure. We both shed a tear, too.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
The, American Top Team versus Sammy Guevara, Tay Conti, and Frankie Kazarian. Surprisingly, better than I expected.
Yes.
I thought this was going to be the popcorn match.
For sure.
But, yeah, better
than...
There
was so much drama.
Yeah, and I like the... What did you think of the Sammy Tay entrance?
Oh, my God. I love it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were hating. Like, I heard... they were coming out with their beautiful attire, and people were still booing. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it was a hell of a match, as Jim Ross said.
But did you guys said there was a lot of drama. Like, you got Sammy and Tay over here kissing and making out, and Frankie Kazarian's like, get in here, like, and they're not backing him up, and then
well, Sammy super kicks Tay.
Yes.
So he's gonna have some explaining to do on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Technically tomorrow, whenever he releases a vlog, we'll see how that goes.
Apparently, I saw Tay tweet, Sammy is sleeping outside or out in the doghouse. And then Sammy tweeted, the doghouse is not comfortable or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're just playing right into it. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But I am glad that it is the end of this feud because it's been a long time coming. And now that...
And it's the end of Sammy Guevara.
They can't... challenge for the TNT title anymore, right?
Basically a repeat of the Cody storyline when he couldn't compete for the AEW world title anymore. Yeah.
They're just like replacing everything Cody.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
Exactly.
The Cody Vader.
The Cody Vader Everybody, is now so Jade had, uses that.
Yeah, we forgot to mention Jade used the elevator and the stage, which was super cool. And then Sammy and Tay did, right?
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did with their gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently, in the media scrum, Tony Khan said it costs like $1,500 to $3,000 a week. So he needs to use it more or just cut it out the budget, one or the other. What would I give this? What would you give this?
I'm trying to think, too. Like, I'm going to give it a 3 because it was it was a Paige VanZant's debut. I don't know.
Because this whole feud has been, I don't know. That's what I mean. It's like. They were, it's like you should have made American Top Team and Scorpio Sky a full blown baby face, but they didn't. Yeah. It was like it was both. It was heel versus heel. And I understand in 2022, you want to like where it doesn't matter about you don't have to have good guy versus bad guy matches anymore. You can have good guy versus good guy. You can have bad guy versus bad guy. But still, yeah. I didn't know who to root for in this match.
That's
you know
very
what I mean?
True.
That was the only thing. So with the complexity of the storyline, I mean, I'm not going to lie. The best part about this whole storyline has been Ethan Page and his in his freaking yelling promos.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's
true.
Like he's, you know, that's coming. That's coming when Ethan Page and versus Scorpio Sky from the TNT. I'm, you know, I'm saying that right now. That's coming, you know, but
he's going to get tired of not being the top person.
Yeah, but based on the randomness and kind of unorganization of the storyline, I want to give it a 2.
Well, I think I'm going to stick with my 3.
Fine, I'll give it a 3.
No, mm-hmm.
We have
okay.
to. I want no. I want to give a, you know.
Okay.
We have to.
Okay.
Come to an agreement here.
Okay,
and
sounds good.
And there's no 2.5, so you're not budging. I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
So basically, if people come at you and get mad that you gave that match a 3, I'm basically saying I'm gonna sink in the ship with you.
Yeah.
So.
You probably just saw like the moth. In the camera.
Summer out here in the country, people. What do you want from us? Kyle Derby Allin. Potato. No, I don't know. What do you think?
Ugh, man.
It was just really thrown together, but out of respect for both of them.
It. And no Sting? Or Sting?
Yeah, exactly. See? But out of respect for both of them,
yeah,
I gave it a 2.
Yeah. And Kyle O'Reilly won, so.
Yeah. It was just a quick match. It was a thrown together quick match.
Yeah.
Rosa Serena Deeb, which is not a thrown together quick match, but kind of.
Kind of predictable?
To
me.
Yeah, no, yes. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to say no. But yes, it was predictable, but there's another word I'm trying to think. Uh-huh. It was just not random, but I don't know.
It was like, I feel like, I know Serena Deeb's been in the business for a long time. I know she was probably due for a title shot now that she's gotten it. I don't think we'll see her get another title shot soon.
Yeah.
We're
just going to call a spade, people. We're just going to tell it like it is. Both of their promo skills aren't great. And that's what kind of took me out of it. But as far as wrestling ability, this was probably one of the best matches on the card. As far as technical wrestling ability, this was like, honestly, this was just, you know, would have been a better Owen Hart tournament, you know, finals match.
Yes.
You know, you could have literally easily swapped places. You could have put Serena Deeb and, you know, made a story. And in the alternate universe, there's a storyline where Thunder Rosa isn't champion.
Yeah.
But her and Deeb are, you know, in the women's tournament. And then you have Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho for the women's title. You could have easily, you know.
Switched them.
Because I think the, like I said, Thunder Rosa Deeb match was probably one of the best matches on the card as far as technical wrestling.
There were
some little clunky bits here and there, but like I said, both of those women are experienced to where when they did have those, they just made a fluid, you know, kind of way through it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that was, that is worthy of a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3, too.
Yeah.
I have decided.
You have decided?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely this is wrestling type of match. The Anarchy in the Arena.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you go ahead. I'm going to grab some coffee.
Okay. So, the first thing is, of course, the one of the most talked about things, and it is the fact that Jon Moxley's song, Wild Thing, played for about how long? Do you know how long that could have been?
I don't know. I think it was the first 5 minutes of the
match.
It basically it until Jericho destroyed the soundboard. And that... Why don't you do that more? That was perfect.
That was like a perfect way to cut it, too.
Literally everybody fighting to Wild Thing and the camera cuts to 10 different, well, literally 5 different cameras, 10 different people fighting.
Yes.
Like, that was just perfect.
Yes,
perfect.
You had them come out at different parts of the arena, and then, like, literally within that 5 minutes, everybody's bleeding. Like, it was so violent.
It was literally what they said it was going to be, which is anarchy in the arena. And then we saw the promo on the pre-show when Kingston cutted that promo on the pre-show, and it's like he even said in the promo, like, I don't even know the rules to this match.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone did going in, and it still delivered. It was great. You know, it was basically
really
like
great.
A new version, a modern or, you know, 2022 version, non-pandemic version of the Stadium Stampede.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it delivered.
It for sure it
was,
did.
Like, that's all I'm thinking. Like, I'm getting excited thinking about it. I want to go back and watch it because it was just fun.
That was a fun
match. It
for sure. Like, when we realized, like, oh, is the music going to keep playing? Like, we for sure were, like, both on our feet because we were, like, we were so pumped.
I wouldn't even, I was like, at one point I was like, after they're done playing Wild Thing, like, are they just going to go through everyone's music or something like that? Like, but then, of course, Jericho, which is a good way. And, like, even he said it was a cue to move on to the next stage of the match after he destroyed the soundboard. But
exactly.
And yeah,
like know. They literally had to tell him like the soundboard's here.
Yeah, have we been saying who won the past few matches? Did we talk about how Thunder Rosa won? How American Top Team won?
Yeah, because remember we said Sammy can't.
How Britt and Adam Cole won?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure people, we're still new to this, you know, as far as the wrestling talk.
Yeah.
But we do have the Cave In Universe. So if you haven't subscribed to the Cave In Universe, now is a good time. At Cave In Universe on Instagram. Well, actually, yeah, Jobber Circle. Are we going to be active on the Jobber Circle social media?
We are.
Yeah. Well, follow Cave In Universe. That's our main account. But Jobber Circle, that's going to be more wrestling based, of course.
Yeah.
Wrestling memes, wrestling talks, reels, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about right now?
Right now, we're still talking about Anarchy in the Arena, I think.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Did we talk about their gear? I loved their gear.
Well, with the JAS, with the Backstreet Boys gear.
Yeah. That was funny.
And then Daniel Bryan looking jacked.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like, it must have been the shirt he was wearing, right?
Yeah, it's all about the way you cut the shirts. But I mean, I'm not as jacked as Daniel Bryan. I'm a little chubbies over here. But, you know, this match was great. This match was great.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's all I keep saying. It was great because it was so wild and chaotic. I couldn't tell you one thing that happened in this match.
Yeah.
But I know it was great. I know it was good. I know I was excited. I know I'm going to go back and watch it again. Then I'll tell you what happened.
And I know Eddie Kingston don't care about the gas prices right now. Because
oh, my gosh.
He'd be looking like the loading screen from GTA or what?
Right? With the freaking gas can. He came out looking so psychotic. Like, what?
He was covered in blood.
Something out of The Shining.
Yeah.
Looked like Jack Nicholson in The Shining when he's frozen, that face he's making.
I saw one quick thing. I saw somebody tweet, because you know how Eddie was out in the out in like by concession and by the merch and stuff
with
like that.
The mustard.
Yeah, with the mustard, they got mustard all over each other, and then so apparently Eddie was bleeding and he was like. He was falling all over the merchandise table where the shirts are.
Oh.
And somebody, I saw a tweet that said, Tony Khan's out there right now bumping up the price of those t-shirts with Eddie's blood on it.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, people would want that.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta do that. What would you rate this match? I mean, it was a violent match. Like I said, we had blood, we had barbed wire, tables, ladders, almost fire. We had gasoline, almost fire.
Ooh.
And then you had, you know, that bright. Yeah. Basically, JAS won, but it was because of the ego struggle of, you know, like Kingston and Bryan, how they started fighting, and then that allowed, you know, JAS to win. So I don't know if this feud's done or not.
I don't know. I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah, definitely like to see more of
this. For sure.
Maybe in Blood and Guts. Maybe that's the next step.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
For sure.
That would be perfect. That's how you gotta do it.
What are you gonna rate it?
This, I'll give it a 4.
I'm giving it a 4 too.
Yeah, this was elite. This was definitely elite.
For sure.
Oh, yes. And then after that, you had the Triple Threat Tag Team match. You want to talk about that?
I don't know. I feel like this could have gone better. Like,
kind of thrown together, but yes, could have gone better.
That's definitely what it was, because, I can't even process my thoughts on that right now, because...
Well, Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs should have won. At least give it to Keith Lee. And, like, that's what I mean.
I was thinking Keith Lee and Swerve.
See, exactly. I'm thinking, we're both thinking the two different teams
that should have won.
Other than Jurassic Express. How did Tony Khan... Like, I'm sorry, I love the pay-per-view, but how did Tony Khan ruin something like the Dark Order, but still keeps around Jurassic Express and thinks that they're tag team, you know, champion worthy? Like, I kind of was hesitant to say that because, like I said, not taken away from Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, I like them both.
You think they'd be good by themselves?
This should have been the moment where... Keith Lee and Swerve won, or Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks won. Like, again, both two better deserving tag teams, even though Swerve and Keith Lee weren't a tag team a month ago, still better deserving to tag teams.
Wow, that's
and this
sad.
Is where you had Luchasaurus, Chokeslam, or whatever, Jungle Boy. And this is where you do the split up. Stop calling him Jungle Boy. Like, you want him to, you really want a world champion one day to be named Jungle Boy? You work for AEW? Oh, who's the world champion at AEW? Oh, Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
The world heavyweight champion of your company is named Jungle Boy? No. This is where you did the split up. You have Luchasaurus go heel, be the monster heel. You have Jungle Boy change his name and come up with a new look, and he's now Jungle Jack.
Jungle Jack Perry.
Yes, exactly. Or he's either Jungle Jack, if you want to keep the jungle gimmick,
yeah.
Or he's Jack Perry. This is literally where you reinvented both of them.
Yeah.
Have Luchasaurus come out with a freaking, like, you know, darker looking freaking mask or something like
with,
that.
With, like, blood on it or something.
Yeah, like blood. Something. This is where you could have done it. Now, yeah. Am I spoiling something that maybe they have planned on the road? I don't know. Christian, like I said, I didn't even mention Christian because why is he there? You just, like, said,
Christian
oh.
Doesn't do anything.
Oh, guess what, everyone? Marco Stunt grew. It's his name is now Christian. Like, that's why he's there. Just so people can forget, like, hey, what happened to Marco Stunt? Oh, Christian. Oh, okay, cool. Like, that's literally
Marco
why he's
Stunt
there.
Marco Stunt grew up.
Literally, yeah. And remember Marco Stunt? This is him now. His name is Christian.
This is him now. Remember Marco Stunt? This is him now.
So, yeah, I'm going to give this I'll give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 2 also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you want to announce the last one?
It's time for the main event.
Literally. That's good.
Yeah. Hangman Adam Page versus CM Punk. It went exactly as I expected it to.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was a great match. Really great match. Great back and forth. And the Vegas crowd, I mean, were they, was that Vegas crowd, was that wrestling fans or were those sloppy drunks that couldn't decide what they wanted in the world?
Yeah.
Because that really
what it
made
was.
Me upset.
Yeah.
They were like, literally, they would cheer CM Punk and chant his name. And then the next move he did, they would boo him. It's like, I know they were probably trolling.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Adam Page. It's like, who are you going for here, guys?
Yeah.
Like,
they
I
were
understand
very
it,
both.
It's very 50-50.
Yes.
Yeah, or 70-30. Sure. I don't know. It was, depending on which way you look.
Yeah.
It was just, that crowd kind of bothered me with that. But the match itself was, it was great. And you can tell CM Punk prepared for this because he was going a lot faster pace than he normally does.
Oh, yeah.
Which was good.
Yeah, he wasn't tired.
I keep holding this mic down here and it's like I'm doing like the pinky, doing like the
Are
fancy
you,
pinky.
Going to a tea
I'm
party?
Doing like that. Going to the tea party. It's just the way this mic is. I have to hold it like that.
You think CM Punk was tired?
Oh my god, like the guy asked him the meteor scrum, like, why did these AEW get these jobber people to ask these jobber questions
Literally.
And are rude at the meteor scrum?
Like you have one.
That's not how you
chance.
Talk to people. You don't just tell someone, oh, you look tired. Nonetheless, the AEW world champion, CM Punk,
Literally.
Right, guy? AEW, you want real, professional people? Invite us.
Yes.
We'll
be
there.
We'll give the good questions.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. That'll probably never happen. They probably look at this and.
It could.
Who are these people?
No. One day. I could hope.
I guess that's the goal, people. But then again, we just said last week, I don't care about jobs or nothing. But at the same time, I mean, hey, hit me up, Tony Khan.
While we're on the topic of the media scrum, did you hear the way Tony Khan went off?
All about Eric Bischoff?
When the same guy, actually, the one who asked CM Punk if he was tired, continued on being stupid, mentioning something about this Twitter war that happened with CM Punk and Eric Bischoff, and then asking, like, saying something about that Eric Bischoff stated that CM Punk was, like, a financial, like, what did he say?
Like, he didn't draw money?
That he didn't draw any money in for AEW. And Tony
didn't
Khan
Eric Bischoff tank 2 companies? Well, he tanked WCW and he nearly tanked Impact. Him and Hulk Hogan literally took out the one thing that made Impact unique, which was a 6-sided ring.
Oh
like, if
God.
Impact had a 6-sided ring today, I would watch. I'm not going to watch a fourth-tier wrestling company, people. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a wrestling fan. Yes, I've been a wrestling fan since I was 3 years old. But I'm not going to watch it. There's nothing unique about it. Like, the X Division is ruined.
Yeah.
The 6-sided ring was ruined. And who ruined it? Eric Bischoff.
Like,
so
some
just
nerve.
Like, literally, he's just a bitter. He's just, I really respected and liked Eric Bischoff, but literally, he's falling in the categories with the Jim Cornettes and all that, even the freaking Dutch Mantels and all that. He just hey, stay a bitter old man.
Yeah.
I know it sucks that you wish you were 20 years old in 2002. You probably feel like, oh man, Eric Bischoff probably thinks, man, if I was 20 years old right now, I'd take over the business. I'd do this and I'd do that. Well, sorry, you
Poor
can't
guy.
Do it, Bischoff. You had a chance to do it back in the back in the 90s, early 2000s. And guess what? You fucked up. All right, guys. So stay in the dark and keep tweeting. All right.
Yeah. Eric Bischoff is a poor old bugger.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I had a lot of respect for Eric Bischoff, but it's like all these people. I have respect for everyone, okay? Like that's the main thing. Golden rule, right? Treat people how you want to be treated. But the more these people talk shit, the less I have respect for them. And I can just tell them, fuck off.
You tell them.
Anyway. Hold on. I don't know what to, I mean, this match, I mean, I have a lot of notes. I just don't know where to start. I mean, well, another thing I want to mention that I just saw, I forgot to mention earlier. It's like, it's a great tribute to Owen Hart. You know, you got the Owen Hart tournament. Does nobody know how to do a sharpshooter?
I saw it like attempted 4 times in the entire night.
Nobody knows how to do a sharpshooter. Hey, Ruby, you don't do a sharpshooter sitting on your ankle, okay? That's not a sharpshooter. Yeah. CM Punk, he was probably tired during the match. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but still, stand up. That's not a sharpshooter. Like you said, I saw, multiple sharpshooters and
none of them were sharp enough.
You know why? Because no one's as good as Owen.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the truth.
That was the thing there. The lesson there.
Yeah. Lesson learned.
Yeah. I mean, Hangman, awesome wrestler, great gimmick.
Yeah.
On the mic. Champ. He wasn't the best champ. It's just not his time. I think he will be eventually, but it's just like, dude, like, you're a fucking star. Like, get out of your head, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? True. You're a star. You're a stud. A stallion, if I may. Get out of your head.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
You know?
Hopefully like you said, he'll get his chance again. And when he does, it'll be the right time.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
Either that or continue being. I don't know. I don't want to. You know. Not attacking anyone's mental health, but it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you can do this. You're
fucking Hangman Page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I'm just glad they didn't do that honorable win where Hangman Page had the belt and he was like, oh, am I gonna use it? Am I not gonna use it? And then if he would have just thrown down the belt and then did his finisher and then won, I would have been so mad at this. That would have ruined this pay per view.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what happened at the end there?
At the end, CM Punk is the new AEW World Champion.
Oh yes.
And it was.
I still couldn't believe it. He was holding up the title and I was like. He's champion.
Is it just me
CM Punk's AEW champion?
Is it just me or when I seen photos today of him with the new champion, it says and new. I'm like, oh, is this real?
Is this is he really champion?
Yeah.
Oh,
this feels I don't know.
Again, poetic justice to the night. It was a great ending. It was a great match. It was a great main event.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. And CM Punk does draw.
Yes.
Yes, he does. You know, want to know why? Because at Raw, we watched Raw earlier. They even were chanting CM Punk at Raw during the BS segments that, Raw always has.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't. Yeah, he's undeniable. So we're talking about undeniable. You can't deny it.
Yeah.
That's
now my question is, do you think he'll carry it for a while? How they have Roman Reigns right now in WWE?
Damn, that's a good question.
Right? I feel like CM Punk is the best in the world.
But I feel like him dropping it a few times will not take away from anything.
Yeah.
He can drop it and get it and drop it and get it. But then again, I like that they kind of haven't. Well, Hangman is kind of. Is Hangman the shortest reigning AEW World Champion?
I was wondering that.
I'm pretty sure.
We got to fact
check. Because that was the
ourselves.
Whole thing up until now was they were there's only been 4 champions. Yeah. Jericho, Moxley, Kenny, and Hangman.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah, so then he has to be the shortest.
Yeah, so that means is CM Punk going to have a short reign? Or you can do CM Punk, and Hangman trade back and forth. You can do that. But I wouldn't throw no one else in the mix just yet because that's the whole point. You don't want to toss that around. That's what the TNT title's for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We're just rating the pay-per-view because, as we know in wrestling, we never know.
Literally, that's a good way to put it.
Literally, yeah. So with this...
You know with wrestling, you never know.
Yes. So this gets the brass ring.
I'm going to give it a brass ring, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is definitely a brass ring match, brass ring moment, poetic justice to the night. This was great. I cannot believe that in 2022, CM Punk is the AEW World Champion.
Yep. And CM Punk is now the only person to hold the WWE Champion, the AEW Champion, and the Ring of Honor Champion.
Wow.
The only person ever.
Wow.
Yes.
So we had CM Punk Hangman got a 5 brass ring.
Yes.
A triple threat match. What did we give that? A 2?
Yeah, we did.
Anakin in the arena, we gave a 4. Mm-hmm. Rosa Deeb, did we give that a 3?
I think we gave it a 2.
No, Rosa D, I gave it a 3.
Oh, wait, yeah, we did give it a 3, actually.
Yeah, see,
sorry.
I should have took notes in this. We'll do that next time, people. Kyle Darby got a 2. So, yes. No potatoes. American Top Team.
That's good.
Tay Conti, and yeah, that got a 3, even though I think it should have got a 2. Owen Hart presentation itself gets a 4. Ruby Soho, Brick Baker gets a 2. Adam Cole, Samoa Joe gets a 3. House of Black Death Triangle.
All these matches.
Yeah, we're not going to go through that. Sorry, people. yeah, that sounded like a good idea at first, but it didn't turn out that way. But overall, the pay-per-view, to me, would get a 4. It was an elite pay-per-view for sure.
Oh, yeah. Elite pay-per-view. And to be honest, like, I think I don't even want to compare. I know we always say that, but I think AEW definitely has better pay-per-views than WWE.
They just stack the cards.
Yeah, and they that's a do. Good thing. Like, I say that about every AEW pay-per-view.
And
like,
it's the fact that it's so spaced out, too. You mm-hmm. know, that it's every, like, quarter, basically.
Yeah, because it gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah, and as we know, if you were to do a pay-per-view every month like WWE, you would just get the same matches like Cody versus Seth Rollins
for
3.
The third time.
Literally, 3 years in a row.
Like, almost in Lashley again.
We need to stop saying literally. I notice I say literally a lot. I got to get that out of my vocabulary. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I was looking at that bug up there.
It's a moth.
The moth.
Yeah. That is, people. But great pay-per-view. Anything else?
Great pay-per-view. And, well, we'll be back next week with Hell in a Cell.
All right. Cheers, people.